and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Justice, joined by the co-founder, co-publisher, I just give him a fancy title, of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Campagna.
Hey, Travis, thanks for the promotion.
Not a problem. We all deserve a good promotion every once in a while. Le como sta? Le capisce italiano?
Oh, you're testing me on the website now.
I'm testing you. Your 30-day challenge, how's it going?
Slow, still slow.
Il capisco un po' italiano.
You're putting me on the spot.
I just said I speak a little Italian. So I'm trying. I've taken a couple steps. But you're shooing me away. You're saying, "Don't talk to me. I've cheated. I've jumped ahead of you."
Yeah, we're talking about our upcoming interview, and then you pull this on me. So now, next time we do a podcast, I'll be quizzing you.
No, don't quiz me. I know a little bit. I've started the program, and of course, Cher Hale on a previous podcast has challenged us to do the 30-day challenge. We are falling behind, so I've made up a little ground. But
yes. You're sandbagging me.
I did, and I kind of it was a cheap shot, and I apologize for that. But that should put you in a good mood, though. That should get us ready to go back to Tuscany.
Looking for the challenge, and I'm looking forward to this interview with Martina, who is a tour guide in and around Pisa.
In and around Pisa, and Martina Manfredi is her name, and her website is TuscanyAtHeart.it. Now, when you think of Tuscany, a lot of people focus in on Florence, or they'll focus in on Siena, but there is so much more in and around the region that a lot of people don't gravitate towards too. And she kind of focuses on areas that maybe not the most visited. When you think of Pisa, you think of the Leaning Tower, but there's so much more to Pisa. You can branch out to Lucca and even throughout that region and in that area, there's so much to see and so much that has not been discovered by the tourists. Martina, I'm going to confess something to you, and you're probably really disappointed in me because of all the times that I've been to Tuscany, and I actually flew into Pisa last March, I've never taken time to discover the city, and I've never been to the Leaning Tower. What am I missing out on by not discovering Pisa?
Oh, you missed a lot. I mean, most of the people coming around think to spend in Pisa just a short time, no more than an hour usually, just to have a look at the most famous Leaning Tower, you know, but they don't know, almost of them, the Leaning Tower itself is part of a really interesting complex of building. I mean, it was designed to be the bell tower of the most important church in town, that is the Duomo. And in the case of Pisa, we got the Duomo is also a cathedral, but I don't know, I don't tell you the reason. I want you to come around and we'll explain you that.
Oh, so you're teasing me. You're bringing me right into it.
Yes, I do.
So, but what you're saying is there's much more to Pisa than just the Leaning Tower.
Of course, beyond the tower, there is much more to discover and explore. I mean, Pisa was the birthplace to Galileo Galilei, you know. So just starting from the place of his birth, you know, you got a really interesting atmosphere going back in time. I mean, Galileo was born in 1564, the same year when Michelangelo died, a new genius was born, Galileo, you know. Pisa was his birthplace. So that's a really important point, first of all. But Pisa is much more than the Leaning Tower in the sense that the old city center offers really cozy squares, narrow alleys to taking you to beautiful medieval churches and the popular Borgo Stretto street where you get these beautiful Renaissance lodges. You can walk along and get in beautiful and nice shops, old cafes. and, you know, meeting places in the city center. Most of the people you're looking around, most of the people you see are students, because Pisa is a university town. The university is really popular, dating up to 1343. It's one of the oldest in Italy and very famous for engineering and medicine. And I mean, we have to keep in mind, Pisa is also the site of the so-called normal school, Scuola Normale, which is located in the second most beautiful square in town, that is Piazza dei Cavalieri, the Square of the Knights. That is, used to be the site of this military and religious order of the Knights of St. Stephen, founded by Cosimo I in 1562 to fight against the Turkish pirates in the Mediterranean Sea. This square, the Square of the Knights, it's really amazing site, restored according to Giorgio Vasari, on behalf of Cosimo I, the Medici, of course.
Martina, I mean, Pisa. I have a confession. I've been to Pisa. I was in Pisa in 2009. I climbed the Leaning Tower. I saw the cemetery. I can't remember what's called the cemetery, the very famous cemetery that's
Cloistra, the Camposanto,
the baptistry. And that's about it. And I wish I had known of your service when I was there, because this sounds amazing to me. How long have you been doing this?
Oh, since 2007.
Well, we were there in 2009, and I think we were there about 3 or 4 hours. We climbed to the top of the Leaning Tower. There was nothing that directed me to the city center and to all these other institutions in this history.
Oh, it's a pity. I mean, probably when you were here, it was still, you know, a lot to do. Actually, recently, the city government and, you know, some cultural institution has been doing a lot to improve to make the city center more welcome and organizing interesting events, you know, and promoting the city. Because unfortunately, until recently, the city of Pisa was known only for the Leaning Tower, you know. So I'm glad actually they're doing something to attract people here, I mean, to the city center of the city of Pisa, you know. So. Yeah.
Martina's website is tuscanyatheart.it. There's just a ton of great information on there. She's got actually a nice promotional video. And Martina, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if you made the video, but I knew you were somebody I wanted to talk to when the first song on your video was The White Stripes.
Yes, I know. It was my two friends who are video makers who decided it. So that's a goal for them. Yes.
You really focus in on art history and archaeology. And when people think of art and everything, I think they're gravitated towards Florence. And Florence is a beautiful city. But how much really around Pisa and Lucca and the Pisa area is there for art and archaeology and monuments?
Right, of course, Florence is the Renaissance city for excellence, you know, and I understand everybody wants to go there to look at this beautiful city center and the many collections they got. Of course, Pisa and surrounding cities like Volterra offers something different, you know, and you have to just get into it and appreciate it. I'm in love with Volterra, for example, because of its amazing city center bearing witness to 3,000 years of history, you know. So starting from the Etruscan time, so I'm talking about a period dating up to the 6th, 7th century before Christ until Renaissance time, you know, so you can find remains which goes, I mean, from the so-called Porta all'Arco, the most important and highlights in Volterra, referring to the Etruscan time and belonging to the old Etruscan walls used to go all around the city center. And then you have a walk to the religious area of the city with the cathedral and the baptistry, and opposite the political center with the oldest public palace in Tuscany, I mean Palazzo dei Priori, which has been the model for the Palazzo Vecchio in Florence too, you know, so that's really a point. And then you got the one of the most preserved Roman theater in Europe in Volterra. And then the amazing, awesome workshop where these so skilled masters still nowadays works on alabaster stone. That is a unicum, you know, what distinguished Volterra from other cities in Tuscany. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Martina, we were in Volterra. Travis spent quite a bit of time there with his wife just recently.
Last March, yeah.
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 I'm in another lifetime, I probably would have been an archaeologist. I'm very intrigued by what can you provide as far as a tour of the archaeological sites in and around Pisa, Volterra, that we may not have heard of before?
Right. Pisa itself offers remains of the old past. I'm talking about Etruscan and Roman time, because of this very soft land where Pisa was built. That is one of the reasons why the most famous tower in town is leaning. But we got many different buildings in the city center leaning too, you know, because of this soft soil. I mean, the land where Pisa was built was a lagoon in the past, you know, so created by the materials taken by the Arno River and another river at that time called Auser, that is the actual Serchio River flowing from Lucca, you know, and so very soft, and the remains of the past has been mixed messed together, so it's really hard to find and distinguish the different periods. Mm-hmm. In Pisa, talking about the Etruscan time, we got just a few remains. I mean, I'm talking about some relics. I'm really proud of showing my guests anytime I have the chance to this interesting Etruscan relic you can find along Via San Martino in the quarter of the same name in the southern area of the city, which is really not interesting for the locals because they don't know the value of this relic. That is, it looks like a pier, and it gives the name to the street, Via La Pera, because since at least the 16th century, the Medici, especially Cosimo I the Medici, realized it was a treasure for the city. So it included it in the city local treasure. And that is this really interesting relic was used by Etruscan people as a part of a decoration for a tomb. Usually you find it on a marble basement, usually square, with head of lions or aries at the corners. So indicating underground there was a really important person, a noble or a prince buried, you know. So mm-hmm. that was a way to sign there was a tomb. And at the same time, this kind of piers, that the proper name is acheruntica, you know, in the technical term, and was also used to sign the borders, the edges of lands, you know, so two very different functions. And yes, that is one relic, and we can find another one in another interesting site in Pisa, that is the so-called New Fortress, the Fortezza Nuova, actually known as Giardino Scotto, because has been transformed in a public garden. And in there you find a tiny of these piers used by Etruscan people to sign there was a tomb underneath. That is just a few things we can find in Pisa, but they are just a testing of an old past. And And then you got
There's really is so much undiscovered. I mean, by tourists, and I was just thinking about just everywhere we've gone, every village that we visited. There's so much to see. I think you could spend a lifetime like yourself there and probably not see it all. I want to go back to Volterra because I stayed there for a whole week last March, and I got to talk to a lot of the alabaster artists, and they're amazingly creative. Their work is wonderful. But they're worried about the craft itself and carrying on the tradition because there's not a lot of apprentices and proteges who want to develop that skill. Are they worried about that form of artistry? I don't want to say disappearing, but not having as many people who specialize in that?
Yes, I think so. The problem is alabaster is just become really rare. The material, the stone itself, you know. So they were telling me recently they've been importing it from Spain, especially. And then, yes, there is a school, an art school in Volterra. They try to keep on with this very old and, I mean, really important tradition on alabaster, you know. So I hope they will have enough money to keep on with this, you know, because we got some problem with our government, actually. So they are just cutting, you know, funds for scientific and art history research, you know, and everything concerning with art is not considered enough important, you know. So we got a big problem about it in Italy, yeah.
So we can hire, one of our listeners could hire you to take them on a tour in Volterra, in Pisa. Are there other communities, Martina, that surround the area that you're routinely or familiar with providing tours?
Oh, yes, of course. For example, especially for families, I would recommend a tour to Calci, which is just a tiny village just outside the city center of Pisa, about 15 minutes by car, where you find an old charter house. Actually, the charter house, a part of it, hosts a really interesting natural museum. A museum of natural history, where you find a really interesting gallery dedicated to dinosaurs and very old fish. They found out really interesting remains about the very old past of Pisa, you know. So that would be interesting for kids as well, apart from visiting the charter house. And then I also like taking people to Vico Pisano, that is a really tiny medieval hamlet hosting a medieval fortress designed by Brunelleschi. And visiting Vico Pisano, it's also a chance to go and have a taste of extra virgin olive oil in the so-called Frantoio di Vico Pisano, where the owners are really friendly and welcome you to sit down, have a drink, and then they show you their vines, because they also grown grapes, and then they let you tasting their really special olive oil, and they do different experiments, mixing with basil, pepper, different flavors, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can have the chance to also to taste some local products. That is nice.
Martina's website is tuscanyatheart.it. You need to check it out. Yeah. She's got a lot of great services there. I got to ask you this, because we ask everybody that's from Tuscany, that you give the tours, and it's those are really made for the tourists. But when you have a free weekend, when you have time to do whatever you want to do, what does somebody in Tuscany who lives there, what do you do for fun, and where do you like to go, and where do you go visit?
All right. Recently, I've been involved in wine tasting, especially. in the countryside around Pisa, also just because I would like to offer my guests some of, introduce them to the local tradition, food, wine, everything. So because of my fiancé, who is taking this course to become a wine specialist, a sommelier, I've been enjoying a lot these wine fairs, and also we often visit wineries in the surrounding area. And for example, I really enjoy going to Terricciola, known as the city of wine too, and visit these little wineries, but really interesting because they, even if they are not so famous because of the so famous Chianti Classico, or if you think of Tuscany and wine, you think about the Val d'Orcia area with Montepulciano, yep. Montalcino, but we have some really interesting production in the area. And I really enjoy recently going to San Miniato, where I'm touring to, because of this winery, the only one producer of Tempranillo wine, that is a Spanish wine. The seeds of these wines were taken to San Miniato by pilgrims going on the way to Rome during the Middle Ages, because San Miniato was on the so-called Via Francigena, connecting the north of Europe, especially England, to Rome, and then, of course, the Holy Land, Jerusalem, So pilgrims on the way to Rome stopped in San Miniato and probably gave these seeds to the local people who started growing these really special vines. And then the production was lost, but one of these local people discovered about 250 plants in his land, in his estate, and started producing this really special Spanish wine in Tuscany, So he's the only one producer of Tempranillo wine in Tuscany. So that's nice.
Martina, this is fascinating. I'm just wondering, what's the typical size of your tour? And answer that one
first. It depends, because usually I recommend at least a 3-hour tour. Mm-hmm. But if you got a day to spend with me, it's better, because I can let you getting into the history, art, tradition, architecture, food, everything, concerning Pisa and surrounding area. So, yes, for example, I really enjoyed recently doing this looking for truffles in San Miniato, So we did this truffle hunting with a dog and this specialist who has been growing up there. So he knows everything about San Miniato area. And his sister was so nice in cooking some nice dishes with the truffle, fresh truffle, we've just found out in the wood. So that was really exciting experience.
I think Travis and I are booking our flights now.
Yeah, you see what you've done this morning with us is make us want to drink a lot of wine and go eat truffles and truffle oil and just start cooking today.
And I think we'll spend the day with you, so you can just put that on your calendar.
Oh yeah, you will be my guest. So as soon as you decide to come around, I will be so happy to show you everything in the area, and you will.
You know what's funny is that Pat and I, when we started TotalTuscany.com and we started doing the podcast, we thought this would really be therapeutic being able to talk to people such as you that live in Tuscany and enjoy Tuscany and can share their stories. But I find it gut-wrenching at sometimes, because I just want to be there more and more every week. And it's the more I talk to you, you put on all these things that we can do, and I'm like, okay, I have to go get on a plane.
Well, and then it's just recently, just because of this interest I got in food and local tradition, in such a way to give the chance to my guests to learn something about local tradition, it was really nice just talking about Volterra area to combine the visit of this amazing hilltop town with a cheese tasting in a local farm, which is just a 10 minutes by car from the city center, in this beautiful natural contest. You know, you have a beautiful view of the rolling hills around and Volterra in the distance, and then you sit down in this patio and you taste so different kind of this organic cheese produced in the inside, you know. So that's really delicious experience, you know. So that's another point to emphasize and to welcome people to join this kind of tour, mixing, you know, yes, art, history, architecture, but also something, a sip of the local way of living and eating and everything, you know.
It's fascinating, Martina. I love architecture. I love archaeology. And no matter my personal experiences, no matter how much I read and how much I try to absorb before I arrive, I'm in awe when I'm walking around in Tuscany and Italy. And it would be so fascinating to have someone with your skills and your knowledge to explain what I'm actually looking at.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad. What I'm trying to do anytime I got some guests around is to understand his, her, or their interests, and then to make them to feel at home and to be my friends, first of all, you know, just to share something together, not just being me, the tour guide, and then my clients. I don't like this term, you know, clients. Mm-hmm. I just like guests, just because I want them to feel me like a friend and to talk to me as we were just being in contact for ages, you know, just because that is the right, for me, in my opinion, the right way to make you enjoy the tour and to appreciate what you're looking at and start going back in time. That is my interest since I was a student at university, to study a period of time and just to feel, you know, learning and studying how people were living and how their way of life and their goal and their, trends and everything, you know, just to make you feeling the life of the past, you know. That was the best way, I think, to understand a period, an artist, a merchant, you know, a manager, everything.
Martina's website is tuscanyatheart.it. You can definitely tell her passion in her voice and the way she describes her tours in the surrounding areas of Pisa. Martina, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you again sometime.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. I hope to see you soon in Tuscany.
All right, Pat, I am really starting to feel guilty because of all the times I've been to Tuscany, including last year when I flew into Pisa. All I did was drive around the city so I could take the interstate up to Cinque Terre. I saw the Leaning Tower from like the interstate going, oh, there's the Leaning Tower. I haven't taken the time to explore the city because when I flew in and when I've seen it, it didn't look that interesting. She painted a picture that makes Pisa a lot more interesting to me.
Well, yeah, and I think it takes us into a situation where we can, we're all about now immersing ourselves in the culture and taking advantage of somebody who can actually show us one place in that kind of depth instead of just checking it off on the list, which we would have known.
So if you want to get in contact with Martina Manfredi, go to tuscanyatheart.it. Of course, you have visited the Total Tuscany podcast. Make sure to like Total Tuscany on Facebook. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and put us in your circles on Google+. So, Pat, you're going to continue your 30-day challenge, right?
And I'm going to bring a whole list of questions for you next time. Be ready.
I gave you about all I know, all right? That's about all I know. He's Pat Capagna. I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to the Total Tuscany Podcast. And remember, each and every day, try to live Tuscan.